This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
Hello, everyone. The Betting Weekly WTA show is back. This week, it's the big one. It's the final major of 2023, the US Open from Flushing Meadow in New York. We've had three different women's major champions in 2023. Will we have another new name in 2024? In the final major of the year. I'd like to say, and also back, here he is, that friendly, smiling face. It's our WTA handicapper here at Because We Win. Fresh from his holidays, fresh from looking for some winners, it's Rory Jawani. How are you, my friend? Long time no speak.
It is. Yeah, it's not bad. Thank you. Had a bit of R&R and always good to take that, especially this time of the year. It's a funny one between the sort of, you know, after the French, and then you sort of have a couple of clay court, hard court tournaments in Europe, and then you're into the US swing. And it's a lot of, I think generally there's a lot of tired players about, and there's a lot of
tired
players
handicappers who, as well. There's a lot of tired.
Yeah, exactly. And so the US Open can be a tricky one. We've seen last couple of weeks, Coco Gauff's been in fantastic form. Jessica Pegula winning a tournament as well. Iga Swiatek, not the ideal preparation, but she had similar last year. So US Open, very, very interesting. And, you know, Swiatek's the favourite, of course. But, you know, she's a very vulnerable favourite.
We're going to come on to that in a little bit. Look at the prices with BetRivers. Currently, we only have the outright markets. There will be a load of props. And tomorrow, we'll look at the first round matches as well. So we're recording this on Friday. And all we're going to do here for the next 25 minutes or so is break down the outright market. Where are the best bets on the women's draw? Who are the each-way value? Who runs the fade? We'll have all those questions answered to you over the next 20 minutes or so. But before we go on to that, now, Rory, listen, I've been following you on Twitter and X or whatever it's called now. And we've had some bad luck along the way this year on the tennis. I saw probably one of the couple of worst beats I've ever seen from you on the World Athletics Championships inside 5 minutes. You've tipped and bet someone to win the 10,000 metres who ran almost 24 laps and then right on the finishing line fell flat on the face.
Yeah.
Then you bet someone in the following race,
the mixed 4x4. Yeah.
The mixed 4x4. Dutch woman. It was double Dutch.
It was double Dutch. Hopefully, I thought it was going to be a double Dutch double.
They fell on the ground as well with the gold medal beckoning. Hopefully,
all the bad luck out of the way.
No, it can't get any. That has got to be the worst bad beat I've ever seen in my life. To be fair to you, I actually did bet the woman for the 10,000. Hassan, I bet her for the 10,000 metres as well. So I shared your pain completely there. But to get the double up, that takes some doing.
Thank goodness it was only a double. I didn't have him in singles. But yeah, it's you've got to laugh when these things happen. They happen. We get bad beats in this game. And, you know, what can you do? You can't cry about it. You just got to plug on and trust that. You know, what can you take from it? They're near misses. So hopefully next time your luck goes your way. And that's pretty much been the case with this season with the tennis as well. You know, we've had a couple of bad beats here and there and players who haven't performed as we'd expect. But that's kind of the luck of the draw. That's how it goes. So hopefully New York, things will turn around.
Yeah, I'm going to say, I've always said to people before, on my tombstone, it'll say, Nigel, he got the value. But that's basically what's going to happen. They didn't cash any tickets, but he did get the value. That's what we do here. We bet many tennis players who collapse on the floor. We met, thankfully, they're all okay. And 10,000 metres, well, that was something else, though. I watched that 24 laps, I think it was, of watching 10,000. I've never watched a race for 40 minutes. And I watched it and thinking, oi, oi, the most exciting bit, the last bit, and then flat on her face. I thought that just sums up my last 6 months completely. If that was a GIF, that would GIF or whatever it's called. No, GIF. Whatever.
That's something completely different.
I know. That's another show. But if it was a GIF, that would be my GIF there. So that was it. Anyway, as you can see, I'm down with the kids on Instagram, my GIFs and my GIFs and all this kind of stuff. But let's move on to the serious thing. This is what you've come here for. You've come here for the tennis and the best bets here. BetRivers are obviously going to be loads and loads of specials. Loads of head out to the BetRivers website. It's going to be all that kind of stuff added over the tournament. And the tournament coverage here is going to be exceptional. Like I say, tomorrow, myself and Roy will be looking at the first round matches. And then I'll be flying to New York on Tuesday. I'll be out there. So giving you all the information from the courts. And Sean Calvert will be flying out on Saturday or Friday or Saturday. So he'll be there for the weekend when I'm returning for the second week. Let's look at the draw. Now, before we go on to the conditions, let's start with the conditions. The conditions here, it's going to be hot. It's going to be quite humid. Obviously, it is New York at this time of the year. What do we need to look for when we're looking for a US Open champion? You have said in the initial speech, and I think it's very, very important, the amount of retirements we've had in the last 2 or 3 weeks in the men's and the women's players are coming in with a lot of fatigue. But what is the build-up? Do we look for players who've won tournaments like Coco Gauff and Pegula, or do we look for people who've just been going steadily along their business, making quarterfinals and semifinals, and then just raising their game that extra level for the US Open?
Yeah, there's no formula for this, really. I mean, you look at previous winners, Swiatek last year, you had Osaka winning it a couple of times. The first time was a little bit of a surprise, but she had been in form before then. So it's, you can't really, you know, there's no real fixed way. Obviously, we had Emma Raducanu 2 years ago coming from absolutely nowhere. This is the tournament probably, I mean, I suppose with the Australian as well to some extent, because it's right at the start of the year. The US, because it's nearly the end of the year, it's the one where you perhaps you'd get the most upsets. Of course, I'm trying to remember, when was it, 2015, when Serena Williams looked on course for the calendar Grand Slam and lost to Roberta Vinci in the semi-finals. So upsets certainly do happen. Sloane Stephens winning in 2017, having not long come back from injury. Bianca Andreescu 2019, she had been in form. I think this year, I think the problem is, you know, we talk about now this big three in women's tennis of Swiatek, Rybakina and Sabalenka. They've not looked particularly big three-like in the last few weeks. And, you know, none of them reached the semis at Wimbledon. I think that's right. So Sabalenka reached the semis at Wimbledon, lost to Jabeur. But, you know, none of them in the final at Wimbledon. And the last few weeks, they've struggled. And I think, you know, when you're going deep in tournaments every week, every other week, it does take its toll. And I think we're seeing that with the big three at the moment. Swiatek's reached the semi-finals of the last two tournaments. Sabalenka reached the semi of Cincinnati, lost to Mukova in the semi-final. Rybakina looks like she might be injured again. So, you know, and she got, you know, done over. Montreal didn't help anyone, apart from Jess Pegula, who won it. But apart from her, you know, you had so many rain delays at that tournament. You had a couple of players playing twice in a day. And Rybakina, for her, she said, you know, she felt done in after that, and she was carrying some, you know, minor, some injuries, and she had some injuries, and then she had to retire at Cincinnati. So all these things at the end of a sort of, towards the end of a long season, they all take their toll, they all add up. And now you've got a 2 week slam. So who's going to be able to last the distance? And probably looking at someone who is in good form. I think form is still important, but perhaps someone who hasn't danced so many dances this year, who perhaps is a little bit fresher than those perhaps at the top of the market. So someone like Coco Gauff, for instance, you can't overstate how fantastic form she's in. She's won two tournaments last few weeks. She's got her first WTA 1000 title. She is now going to be the big American hope at Flushing Meadows. She's going to experience pressure like she's never experienced before. She's going to be on all the billboards. Since Serena Williams, they've kind of been lacking a superstar. Gauff is now primed to take that place. But she's only 19 and she'll never have felt this sort of pressure before. You know, she might have been under the radar in previous slams. She's definitely not this time. She's coming in as the form player. I think that's a real worry for her supporters. If you're a backer, I mean, if you've got a good big price in her early in the season, then great. If you're thinking about backing her at $8, I'd suggest that's not a great price. But there's so many ways to come at this. I'm inclined to take on the top few in the market for those reasons I've just stated.
If you look at the trends of the tournament, tournament favourites in recent years haven't performed very well. Obviously, Iga Świątek won the tournament last year. She was a tournament favourite, but that's about the trend. The last time a tournament favourite was in 2014, which is Serena Williams. And she's the last person to win back-to-back tournaments. She won it in 2012, 13, and 14. If we look at the women's winners, Panarta, Kerber, Stevens, Osaka, Andreescu, Raducanu, and Iga Świątek. So this is a tournament what does throw up some random results, as Rory said there. So I'm pretty much in agreement. I want to fade Iga Świątek here at plus 240, but we'll come on to that in a minute. Let's have a look at the draw. Now, the draw has been made yesterday, and it does appear to be very favourable to the bottom half of the draw. The top half of the draw looks a lot stronger. And what we're going to do here is we'll break it into sections. So we're breaking into the first quarter of the bracket, then the second quarter, third quarter, and fourth quarter. First quarter, we have Iga Świątek, the number one seed, with a quarterfinal opponent, potentially, of Corey Goff. Also in that, we have Kudermetova, we have Kvitova, and we also have a mouth-watering prospect of the second-round match between Coco Gauff and the teen sensation Mira Andreeva, which is going to be an absolutely fascinating match. Let's have a look at that section first, Rory. Where do you potentially see that opening up? Who's going to reach the semi-finals, quarter-final routes? And who potentially do you think could be someone who could upset the more well-known players in that first quarter?
Yeah, I mean, let's start with Świątek. So Montreal, she was a bit unlucky there with the weather. She came up against a fresh Jess Pegula, having needed three sets to beat Danielle Collins the night before. Not so unlucky against Coco Gauff. I mean, she was beaten fair and square there. I think, yeah, this top quarter looks the most difficult of the lot with Świątek and Gauff. Gauff finally beating Świątek at the eighth attempt. She hadn't won a set in their previous seven meetings. I think, you know, I think, yeah, that route for Gauff isn't a nice one. So as you said, Andreeva possibly in round two. In round three, Danielle Collins or Elise Mertens. Yeah, I quite like the look of Collins. Petra Kvitova potentially in round four. And then either Świątek, Yelena Ostapenko or Veronika Kudermetova in the quarterfinals. Gauff's going to have to hit the ground running. Andreeva, second round. I mean, she didn't get very far this week in Cleveland. But as you say, she's a star of the future and she's gone deep in a couple of slams already this year. I think someone could spring a surprise in that top quarter. We've mentioned about the minor injuries, fatigue, adding up, taking their toll over the season. I mean, Kudermetova lost to Venus Williams the other week. I mean, that should not really have happened. I mean, Venus Williams, great player, legend of the game, whatever, but she's 43. And Kudermetova is pretty much a top 10 player. I think she's down to 16. I think, you know, looking at that first quarter, if I was going to play one at a price, it would be Danielle Collins because she's having a bit of an injury-free run, which always helps. I mean, she's had so many injuries in her career. She played really well in Montreal after coming through qualies. She beat Alina Svitolina, Maria Sakkari and Leila Fernandez. And then she lost in three sets to Świątek. She ran into Świątek again the following week in Cincinnati and won just one game. But you know, that can happen against Świątek. Sometimes she is just unplayable. Collins against Gauff in round three would be a fantastic match. And I think Collins would relish that, being the underdog against her fellow American. And she's $100. I think that's a big price for Collins, who, you know, she's a slam finalist. She reached the final of the Australian Open not so long ago. I think she could give us a bit of a run for our money at $100. So I'd be having half a point on her each way. But I think, yeah, I agree with you that Świątek's a fade. I mean, as I said, you know, she has had a slightly better prep this year than last year. You know, she's reached the semifinals of Cincinnati and the Canadian Open. Last year, she went out in the third round of both those tournaments. But there's something, you just feel that sort of, she had that aura of invincibility earlier in the season. She had it last season as well, and it's kind of gone. And I think this year, it's such a deep tournament. There are, I'd say there's, you know, seven or eight players who could win this at least. And I think Świątek, you know, she seems to be throwing in a few more off games. She's not even, some of these matches that you'd expect her to win really comfortably, She's being taken to three sets. She got taken to three sets by Collins, by Qin Wenzheng recently. I just think something's amiss there, and I think she'll be found wanting.
I think let's have a look at the outright market here. These are the outright markets. These are the prices with BetRivers. I totally agree with Rory on Iga Świątek. I mean, she's getting involved in a lot of things off the court as well at the moment, which I don't think is helping her game. Also, she's played an awful lot of tennis. And she's played a lot of tennis and a lot of surfaces, not only this year, but over a period of 3 or 4 years. And she looks tired. It happens to everybody at this stage of the year. And I think at plus 140, I think she could struggle. I really do. Iga Świątek is plus 240. Obviously, she's a defending champion. No defending champion has won back-to-back tournaments here at Flushing Meadows since Serena Williams. Arena Sabalenka in the bottom half. We'll come on to that in a minute. She's plus 450. Corey Goff, obviously, huge amount of money for her. She's in form. She's $8. But I don't think if you bet Corey Goff individually for her matches, her route to the final is probably the most difficult I've seen for anybody. And you bet her 8-1. She may well win it, but honestly, serious questions have to be asked about your mental state of mind if you're betting Corey Goff 8-1. She's got to play Andreeva. First round of qualifier, then Andreeva probably in round two, then Collins, then Kvitova, then Świątek to reach the semi-finals.
Yep.
So if you did the parlay on all those matches, you're going to get much more bigger than 8-1. That is a price that BetRivers and American sports books are worried of. Elena Rybakina is 8-1. She's in the top half as well. Jess Pegula is 12-1. Brilliant recent form, but a terrible record here with the US Open. Anja Berra, 16. Mukova, we never know if she's fit or not. Mukova is 20-1. Vondrousova, 30. Elena Svetolina is 33-1. Samsonova is 40-1. Kvitova, 41. Zachary, 41. Caroline Garcia is in dreadful form, 40-1. And Madison Keys at 50. So they are the main dozen or so at the top of the betting. So let's move on to quarter two. And this is where we find the former Wimbledon champion, Lena Rybakina, number 4 seed. We find Zachary at 8-1. And we find your friend Mukova, 10, number 10 seed, sorry. 4 seed Rybakina, 8 seed Zachary, and number 10 seed Mukova. It looks a little bit tougher. It's probably another tough quarter. I think the top half of the draw is much, much tougher than the bottom half of the draw. Rybakina starts with a very, very tough match against Kostyuk, the Ukrainian. I think that potentially could be an upset there. And you remember, Rybakina got beaten in the first round here last year as well, when she was the Wimbledon champion. What do you make of this section of the draw?
Yeah, I'm definitely against Rybakina, who has injury worries. I mentioned Montreal and the rain and the sort of fixture congestion. And then she pulled out injured in Cincinnati. It's not good preparation. And she's struggled, you know, in the last few months. She really has had to pull out at Roland Garros through a virus. Didn't go as far as probably would have expected at Wimbledon. She lost to Anja Berra at Wimbledon in a repeat of their final from last year, going out in the quarters. And she's, again, another player who has played a lot of tennis this year, a lot of time on court. She's had injuries. Just all seem to be adding up, and her preparation hasn't been good. And as you say, a real live opponent in the first round in Marta Kostyuk, could definitely be some value there backing the Ukrainian in round one. We'll have a look at the matches properly tomorrow. I know you say she's my favorite. I do like Mukova in this section. She's beaten Zachary again recently. They seem to be drawn against each other so many times, and Mukova keeps winning. No reason to see anything there. And she's in really good form, and she does seem to be fit. I mean, touch wood and everything, but she went down 6-4 in the third to Świątek in Montreal in the last 16. She beat Sabalenka in the semifinals in Cincinnati. I mean, that's great form. Obviously, she went down to Coco Gauff in the final, but she's playing very well. You know, someone who I was interested in a few weeks ago is Belinda Bencic, but she, you know, might be struggling with injuries again. She sort of rolled her ankle not so long ago against Petra Kvitova, went out in the first round in Cincinnati. Victoria Azarenka, never to be overlooked at Flushing Meadows, has a great record here, but she does look past her best. I think Mukova can win this quarter, definitely. And then who knows who gets out of the first quarter. I think Mukova, her outright price of $20, it's not massive. Personally, I'd have liked a bit more, but I think it's worth a go. at $20. I think she's the safest option in this second quarter. As I say, Sakkari just doesn't deliver at these tournaments. Rybakina, I don't think she's fit. So I think Mukova can go well again.
Just going about Rybakina there. I mean, she got beaten in the first round last year. She plays Kostyuk this year. We're going to talk about the matches tomorrow, but I think there's a potential shot there. I definitely want to get with the Ukrainian. And also Rybakina, she's never reached the second week of the US Open. She's never, ever progressed past the third round. And I think she's a fade on the outright market with an injury concern at eight. And we're waiting for the odds to come out on the quarter betting with Bet Rivers. But she will be the favourite to win that quarter. And I think she's fade there as well. The only trouble with Mukova is that you just never know with her injury. So I think you might get a shock here. I think you might get someone at a very, very big price reaching of the semifinals there. But Mukova, obviously, if she's fit, which is that is the big if she's fit, she's obviously the one who should come through that second quarter. So as we have it now, we've got a semifinalist in quarter one. We're going to go for Daniel Collins in quarter one. Is that the... So we got Daniel Collins. Yeah.
Daniel Collins, half a point at 100 to
one. We'll come up to the end. We've got Daniel Collins in quarter one, and we've got Mukova to come through in quarter two in what will be a very, very surprising top half of the draw when you consider how difficult it is. And let's move on to the bottom half. We've got quarter three here. Now, I would argue this is probably the weakest quarter of the lot. Caroline Garcia is in there, number seven seed, absolutely dreadful form at the moment. She doesn't seem right on and off the court. I think she's got some problems there. A tough first round match for Potapova up against Clara Towson. The Wimbledon champion, Vondrousova, is in there, the number nine seed, but she hasn't been playing at all well since she won Wimbledon. Very in and out. Samsonova is a dangerous player in these conditions, but it needs to be quick. We're not quite sure how quick it's going to be. Madison Keys, can we trust her now at her age? And Jessica Pegula, someone who is playing so well. I've seen a lot of people tipping her up on social media, but you've got to take into consideration that she doesn't perform well in front of the American crowds in her home slam. She's only ever reached the quarterfinals once here, which was last year. But prior to that, she never got past the first round. So there's a lot of pressure on her. And she has a very, very tough opener against Camilla Giorgi. That could be a very difficult match for her as well. That looks the most open section to me. I really do think that anybody can go through there. Doubts about Pegula for me. Garcia wouldn't touch with your money. Vondrousova, questionable. Where do you think the value is in this section?
You mentioned the court speed. The tournaments we had recently, actually based on last year, play very similar. Cincinnati and Washington DC, they're kind of a bit quicker than medium. They're still medium really, but they're a little bit quicker. There's the service hold percentages are reasonably high. Weather wise, it looks mild, mid 20s Celsius.
I've just seen the weather forecast, Rory, for the day I land.
Yes, that's thunder and horrific. Lightning.
Wednesday, Tuesday, rain. I've only just seen it. Tuesday, thunder and lightning. Yeah. Welcome to New York. touch the ground on JFK. Thunder, lightning in the air. I mean, that is that. I've got my swimming trunks packed. So it's thunder and lightning on the Tuesday, rain all day the Wednesday, and it seems to get better as the week goes on. And then I come home.
Oh dear!
I'm usually lucky with the weather, and it's Sean Calvert who's unlucky with the weather. And I think he might have my luck this tournament here, but Tuesday doesn't look good at all, does it?
No, it's, I think, 2 inches of rain forecast. Of course, there's roofs on the two main courts, Arthur Ashe and Louis Armstrong.
I'm worried about the plane landing with thunder and lightning coming out of the sky rather than the roof on the court.
Yeah, oh, you might get diverted to LaGuardia or something like that. Oh dear, that won't be nice. They can play until very late. At New York, of course, we had some very late night finishes there. There shouldn't be too much disruption. The forecast does look pretty good after that when you're back. So not ideal.
What do you like in that?
I actually like Vondrousova. I think Pegula, I still have a doubt, in big tournaments, getting to the business end, where the gods were definitely smiling on her in Montreal. And in her section, in her eighth of the draw, if you like, you've got some tough opponents. You've got Alina Svitolina, Madison Keys, Ludmila Samsonova. In the top half, so the top half of the third quarter, if you can visualize that, as you say, Garcia's in terrible form. Ekaterina Alexandrova's playing this week. I'm not sure that's ideal prep for a slam, especially one so late in the season. Vondrousova, yeah, she's only played twice since Wimbledon. She had quite a long break after that first slam success. She was well beaten by Goff in Montreal. That was her first tournament back. And in Cincinnati, you know, she took Swiatek to a tiebreak in the first set and then went down 6-1 in the second. The thing with Vondrousova, and it's funny because I did back her for the US Open quite soon after she won Wimbledon, because I thought, you know, I think she was around $25. I still look at her Wimbledon win and think that grass is perhaps, and not by much, but her weakest surface. You know, all her sort of big runs, her success have been on either hard courts, and she reached the French Open final on clay. She reached the Olympic final on hard court in Tokyo, actually similar hard court to what they'll be playing on in New York. I think these conditions are pretty near optimum for her. Sure, they probably suit other players very well, you know, better than grass, for instance. But I think she can go deep here. And there's that belief now from her being a slam champion. I think $30 is a very, very fair price about her. And you look at the people in her section of the draw, there's no one frightening there. You know, Pegula just can't really seem to get it done in the latter stages of slams. Garcia, we said, terrible form. Svitolina, how far can she go? Madison Keys, as you say, how can we trust her? She's had so many opportunities getting deep and not really delivering. Samsonova probably needs it a little bit quicker. She has been playing very well. She got to the final in Montreal, and she was unlucky there because she had to play the semi-finals and the final in the same day and got thrashed by Pegula in the final. But I think Vondrousova's a really attractive price at $30.
So Vondrousova through to the semi-finals in quarter three. So we've got Collins, Mukova and Vondrousova through to the semi-finals. And in the final section, section four, quarter four, we have Onjaba, two-time runner-up last few years, runner-up, but being very easily by Iga Swiatek last year. Obviously, she's coming in off the back of that really disappointing Wimbledon performance as well. She's been the runner-up in the last two Wimbledons and the last two US Opens as well. Will she break through here? Will she? She's available. If you want a better, you can better at 16-1 with Bet Rivers to win this. In that section, you have Krejcikova, who is not in any form whatsoever. You have Kazatkina, who is far too inconsistent for me. Badoso is unseeded. She opens up against Kenin, I believe it is. And in the bottom, and also have Pliskova, is another sort of veteran of the tour. Venus Williams is in the draw as well. No, she plays, Badosa plays Venus Williams, I'm afraid.
That's right.
Venus Williams v. Badosa, which is an interesting, Kenin plays Bogdan. And the final person is the number two seed, Arina Zabalenka. Zabalenka is the +450 favourite. Now, up to 450 second favourite to win this tournament. Now, you've opposed Swiatek, you've opposed Goff, you've opposed Rybakina, you've got big doubts about him. Zabalenka, what do you think of her chances here? I mean, her form here has been pretty solid, semi-finals. And on the hard court records this year, she has a better percentage record than Iga Swiatek. She is the number one performer on the hard courts on the US Tour, on the WTA Tour. And she also is the Australian Open champion as well. And she's +450 in a much weaker section to the half than Iga Swiatek, who is +240.
Yeah, I'm opposing her as well. I think...
She's my bet. She's my bet.
Is she really?
I think she's a fantastic each way bet. I really do it.
+450. I don't know. I mean, she took a long gap after Wimbledon, like Vondrousova. She made an early exit to Samsonova in Montreal. And then she went down to Mukova in the Cincinnati semifinals. And she served 11 double faults against Samsonova and 10 against Mukova. Excuse me. It just feels a little bit like the Sabalenka of 2022 has returned to me. Now, that may not stop her going deep in this tournament. Her draw doesn't look the worst, but $4.50, it makes me very wary about backing her. The other player to look at, as you mentioned in this part of the draw, is Jabeur. Can one trust her after that Wimbledon final? I do almost feel inclined to give her another chance at a slam other than Wimbledon. You know, I think Wimbledon was just...
You're too kind, Roy. That's your problem. You were laughing about the two Dutch people that fell in on the floor. Money, that's the difference. Not many bettors would give Jabeur a chance anymore. I've given up with Jabeur.
I'm not backing her.
Last two Wimbledons, and I'm never trusting her again with my money. She's done. Me and Jabeur finished.
It's over.
You're much kinder hearted than me, Rory. I'm finished with her.
As grease. Yeah, I think any other slam other than Wimbledon, she wins that, I think. I mean, the pressure of the occasion was just too much. Her draw doesn't look back up bad either, unless Daria Kazatkina or perhaps Donna Vekic, although she retired from her last match, unless they can throw a spanner in that works. I can't see anything other than a Jabeur-Sabalenka quarterfinal. And Sabalenka did beat Jabeur in Cincinnati. So that would be... I think they're both going to go deep here. I can't see them being stopped going deep. Once they get to the business end, that's when it gets a bit tricky. If I had to pick one, I'd probably go for Jabeur to win the quarter. If she gets to the final, then we'll revisit Wimbledon, no doubt, if she gets that far. Could she play, you know, Vondrousova again in the semi-finals? Vondrousova's beaten her the last three times this year. Sabalenka's got a very good record against Vondrousova of late, but Vondrousova's never really been fit for a substantial amount of time until just before Wimbledon. So, you know, there are all these unknowns, there's all these factors coming into play. I think we can look at Jabeur or Sabalenka to win the fourth quarter. But as far as an outright bet goes, Sabalenka at +450 is short for me, and Jabeur at +1600 again, just a little bit short for me.
I like Sabalenka with the each way part. I like the 225 to get the final. Because I just think if every one of her matches, if you look at the progression through to her matches, apart from the Jabeur match, she's going to be like minus. The biggest price she'll be is like minus $7. She's going to be very heavy favorite round one, very heavy favorite round two. If she plays Kazatkina, she'd probably be about minus $6, something like that. Jabeur, what would she be? -250, -2. And if you work it out, I think it's a decent price. And that's obviously if those players get to that far, they could get beat. So I think Sabalenka's a nice each way. It's sort of if you're a bigger hitter, if you're someone, I'm not saying I'm a big hitter or nothing like that, but I'm saying if you're not a recreational bettor and you want a serious player, I think Sabalenka offers the best each way value. If you want to have a little couple of dollars on someone for some interest, there's obviously some bigger players out there. Remember, Bet Rivers have a special as well. We're going to mention it all the way through this tournament here. But they have another, they come up with these specials, and they're always very, very popular. They've got a US Open offer daily for the main draw. You get a £50, 50% match bet up to $25 on a live wager each day of the US Open. So if you wager $25, you get 50% matched for your next play. So that's a nice offer there. It's going to be running all the way through the US Open for the next 2 weeks in New York. So, Roy, so the conclusion is we've gone for the top half. Collins in the top quarter. She'll be playing Mukova in the semifinals. In the bottom half, we're going to go for Vondrousova against Jabeur in a repeat of the Wimbledon final. But where is the money and what is the staking plan? Where do we need to go? What do we need to do? Where do we need to go to make some money here on the outright market with Bet Rivers?
Yeah, I think Vondrousova is the best bet. I think she's the best value bet for me. I think that third quarter is the weakest of the four. And she's a slam winner now. I think the confidence she has, you know, she knows she can beat all of these players on any given day. And I think I'm backing her a point each way at $30. That's in the bottom half. In the top half, I have gone for Karolina Mukova a point each way at $20. Again, the second quarter is considerably weaker than the top quarter. And I think Mukova, she's got the beating of Sakkari. She's beaten her two or three times this year already. And with so many fitness doubts surrounding Elena Rybakina, I do like Mukova in the second quarter. And in that top quarter, as we've mentioned, you know, fatigue, injuries piling up. Danielle Collins, who, you know, finally has a clear run, who looks to be fit again. She's a fantastic match player, a great competitor. Her against Coco Gauff in round three could be a match to to relish, to really savor. And I fancy Collins a half a point each way at $100. I think, you know, she can go a long way because she's fit for a change. And, you know, in these conditions, she's very good.
So they are three picks. Mukova at 20-1, Vondrousova 30-1, and Danielle Collins at 100-1. That has been the outright market wrapped up here on Betting Weekly Game Bet Match with our WTA handicapper, fresh from his holidays, Rory Jawani. Rory, we'll be back tomorrow to look at the women's first round matches. So we'll go through those as well. Look at Rory's picks. We'll break those down. And the content's really getting to pick it up now. So the next couple of weeks, it's all about the US Open as well. But not only that, we have the soccer leagues all kicking off in Europe as well. And some of the content on the BetRivers Studios YouTube channel is fantastic. So make sure you subscribe to the channel, get an alert every time that drops. There's four ways to follow us. You can download this podcast, Betting Weekly Game Bet Match, on your preferred podcast provider. You can subscribe to that YouTube channel, as I mentioned there. And you can also follow us on our socials, which is at Because We Win, which is our Twitter handle, and also our Instagram handle. Instagram, myself and Sean, you'll be seeing me singing in the rain on Broadway on Tuesday and Wednesday, and hopefully seeing some tennis in the sunshine on Thursday. And Sean Calvert will be back out in the Big Apple with me on Saturday. Rory, thank you very much. Good to see you back.
And you.
Good luck Thanks, with your mate. Bets. I'll chat to you tomorrow. Take care, everyone, and hope you enjoyed that. And we'll be doing a men's preview, which will be dropping a little bit later on with Sean Calvert as well, looking at the best bets on the men's draw as well. Take care.